ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भागवतम 7th canto chapter 13 entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person, text 25.
यदृच्छया लोकमिमं यदृच्छया लोकमिमं प्रापितः कर्मभिर्भ्रमन् प्रापितः कर्मभिर्भ्रमन् स्वर्गापवर्गयोद्वारम् स्वर्गापवर्गयोर्द्वारम् तिरश्चां पुनरस्य च तिरश्चां पुनरस्य च
इन द कोर्स ऑफ द एवोल्यूशनरी प्रोसेस which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification. I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. Purport. All living entities within this material world are undergoing the cycle of birth and death according to the laws of nature. This struggle of birth and death in different species may be called the evolutionary process. But in the Western world, it has been wrongly explained. Darwin's theory of evolution from animal to man is incomplete because the theory does not present the reverse condition. Namely, evolution from man to animal, or rather devolution. In this verse, however, evolution has been very well explained on the strength of Vedic authority. Human life, which is obtained in the course of the evolutionary process, is a chance for elevation, swarga apavarga. Or for degradation, tirascham punarasyacham. If one uses this human form of life properly, he can elevate himself to the higher planetary systems, where material happiness is many thousands of times better than on this planet. Or one may cultivate knowledge by which to become free from the evolutionary process and be reinstated in one's original spiritual life. This is called apavarga or liberation. Material life is called pavarga because here we are subject to five different states of suffering represented by the letter pa, pha, ba, bha and ma. Pa means parishram, very hard labor. Pha means pena or foam from the mouth. For example, sometimes we see a horse foaming at the mouth with heavy labor. Ba means byarthata, disappointment. In spite of so much hard labor, at the end we find disappointment. Bha means bhaya or fear. In material life, one is always in the blazing fire of fear, since no one knows what will happen next. Finally, ma means mrityu or death. When one attempts to nullify these five different statuses of life, pa, pha, ba, bha, ma, one achieves apavarga, or liberation from the punishment of material existence. The word tirascham refers to degraded life. Human life, of course, provides an opportunity for the best living conditions. As Western people think, from the monkeys come the human beings, who are more comfortably situated. However, if one does not utilize his human life for swarga or apavarga, he falls again to the degraded life of animals like dogs and hogs. Therefore, a sane human being must consider whether he will elevate himself to the highest planets, prepare to free himself from the evolutionary process, or travel again through the evolutionary process in higher and lower grades of life. If one works piously, one may be elevated to the higher planetary system or achieve liberation and return home, back to Godhead. But otherwise, one may be degraded to a life of as a dog, a hog, and so on. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, those interested in being elevated to the higher planetary system, Devaloka or Swargaloka, must prepare to do so. Similarly, if one wants liberation and wants to return home back to Godhead, he should prepare himself for that purpose. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the highest movement for the benediction of human society, because this movement is teaching people how to go back home, back to Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 13.22, it is clearly stated that different forms of life are obtained by association with the three modes of material nature. Karanam gunasanga asya sadasadyoni janmashu. According to one's association with the material qualities of goodness, passion and ignorance, in this life, in one's next life, one receives an appropriate body. Modern civilization does not know that because of varied association in material nature, the living entity, although eternal, is placed in different diseased condition known as the many species of life. Modern civilization is unaware of the laws of nature. Prakritehe kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankar vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the performer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Every living entity is under the full control of the stringent laws of material nature. But rascals think themselves independent. Actually, however, they cannot be independent. This is foolishness. A foolish civilization is extremely risky. And therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make people aware of their fully dependent condition under the stringent laws of nature. And is trying to save them from being victimized by strong Maya, which is Krishna's external energy. Behind the material laws is the supreme controller, Krishna. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Therefore, if one surrenders unto Krishna, mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite, one may immediately be freed from the control of external nature. Sagunan samati teitan brahma bhuyaya kalpade. This should be the aim of life. And all the Vaishnavas here try to speak something about this verse. Then in this Avadhut Brahmana is speaking about the opportunity and the perfection that the human form of life provides. Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, as Yugavatar and simultaneously along with fulfilling the purpose of Yuga, of the Yuga, establishing Yuga Dharma, has also trying to understand the highest realm of pleasure in Krishna consciousness experienced by the highest devotee, Srimati Radharani, has invested that Yuga Dharma of congregational chanting also with Krishna Prema. Golokya Premadhana Harinam Sankirtana. And therefore, this Yuga Dharma, in this particular 28th millennium of the 57th year of Brahma, whatever, is specially potent. Namnamakari Bahudha Nijasarva Shakti. And therefore, simply by this chanting of the holy name, it can take you from, it can take us from the lowest level to the highest level ever imaginable. Lowest level imaginable to the highest level imaginable. The classical example, the highlight of Mahaprabhu's pastime is Uddhar of Jagai and Madhai. And the highest exhibition of ecstasy in love of God is not only just discussion with Ramananda Rai, but exhibition of that in the Mahaprakash Leela. So on one hand, the lowest people being delivered by the potency of the holy name. And on other hand, you have the highest achievable love of God that is exhibited, and how the Lord is sold out to such devotion. How the supreme controller becomes fully controlled, absolutely dependent on the love of his devotee as exhibited in the Mahaprakash Leela. This is the wide range of evolution that is brought about in one lifetime by Mahaprabhu's mercy. Otherwise, this lifetime, as described here, karma, jnana, ashtanga, bhakti and all that, bahunam, janmanam, ante. But all that is manifested. This is why when Rupa Goswami saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, namo mahavadanyaya. What a magnanimous incarnation. Krishna prema pradayate. Without seeing qualification, without seeing place, time, circumstance, in an intoxicated way, as an intoxicated man generally becomes very liberal, unconsciously. Similarly, the Lord has become like that. The different level of evolution is described. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Chaitanya Shikshamrita very beautifully the elevation from amoral. The lowest level is amoral atheists, human beings. Amoral atheistic. No morality and no understanding of God. They don't believe in God. They think matter is all in all. Combination of matter has brought this world. And the goal is simply to enjoy the senses as long as you live. To sacrifice others' pleasure for my pleasure. That is their philosophy. Ṛṇam kṛtvā ghṛtam pivet yāvat jīvet sukham jīvet. Very beautifully summarized by Charvaka. Even at the cost of others' suffering, I have to enjoy. I don't care whether it causes displeasure or pleasure for others. I don't care what impact, what is the consequence to the society at large, who feels what. Absolutely insensitive and super sensitive to one's own needs. Sometimes we may have the highest philosophy, but our activity is like this. So that is amoral, atheistic. Next is moral atheists. They are slightly better. You enjoy, but not at the cost of society. So, pleasure, external, superficial, materialistic, sense pleasure of the society is in mind. And with those rules, which may change according to time, place, circumstance, but still, don't cause trouble to others. That's morality. It's like somebody may say, I take alcohol, But I take just one peg just before going to bed. Don't cause trouble, just drink. Kya problem? And I never drink at others' cost. Out of my own hard-earned money, drink a little. As long as people are not suffering, and they are highly moral people, respected in society. As social reformers, but they have their own conception of what is right, what is wrong. And these keep changing according to their own perception. Everyone has their own conception. I don't take all of this, but only this I take. Egg is okay. That doesn't cause harm to any other living beings. I don't want to cause. I don't take non-veg, but this is okay. Fish is okay. Because it is water cucumber. It grows in water. They may have their own conception and they are highly moralists. They live very strictly according to their own. They sacrifice so much for the welfare of society. They think they are sacrificing and they do sacrifice. And sometimes people who are following the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are impressed by the whew, so much sacrifice that don't undergo in the name of Krishna consciousness. But they do undergo and they are really impressive and people are impressed by these kind of moral atheism. And they do undergo sacrifice for others. So they sacrifice selfish pleasure for others' benefit. But because of not understanding the Supreme Lord, they don't know what is the ultimate benefit. And there is no standard morality. Prabhupada explains in his Back to Godhead Founder, morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. So, morality without spirituality. Spirituality means accepting the Supreme Spirit. Is just sophisticated kind of, so-called spiritual. I always give that example. When I was small, I had this cartoon of two boys with bow and arrow shooting arrows at the bullseye. Both are shooting and one person is shooting. Sometimes he hits there are seven circles in the bullseye. Sometimes he hits the sixth, sometimes he hits the fourth, sometimes he hits the first circle almost close. Then he hits the fifth like that. He's trying his best to come and hit the bullseye. And the other fellow, every arrow he shoots, bullseye. Amazing. Every arrow is hitting the bullseye. And the next picture shows, how is he able to successfully hit the bullseye every time? He shoots an arrow on the wall, and wherever it hits, he draws a bullseye around it. This is morality without spirituality. You perform an action which you consider is best to the interest of others according to your own conception and you weave a whole philosophy around it. One devotee told me he was attending yoga classes and this yogi was strongly propagating vegetarianism. But then one day he just went out somewhere for a few days and came back and he had tasted fish and he liked it. And he changed the whole philosophy. Vegetarianism plus fish is still vegetarianism. His own conception of vegetarianism. So in this way, so many people we find live a very moral life according to them. I had a friend of mine, before drinking, he would just take 3 drops and throw it on the ground. Really, seriously. He would take it and he would chant some mantra and one in the upper direction, one in the middle direction, and one on the ground. And then, and he actually considered himself very pious, harmless, selfless, welfare worker for humanity. He was convinced. And other activities of his are so perfect, so inspiring, that if we don't have a better alternative, we may be very much inspired to follow that example. But that may keep changing over a period of time. So that is morality, moral atheists. Then comes moral pseudo-theists. These are all conditioned state of material life. Moral pseudo-theists. They may have their own conception. They say, come on, you should be moral, but better has some God, even if he doesn't exist. Imagine. It's good to have God, you know. Why? Because if you simply believe in morality without having at least a conception or imagination of some God, some powerful personality, some demigod, whatever, then there is a chance that when there is an opportunity, there is lack of morality. Or, for example, if no one is watching and no one is getting affected, what is the point? I can break. But if you believe in at least there is God who sees, whoever he is, my God is seeing, even at night, or if you are breaking a traffic, no, God is seeing, even though policeman is not there. God is seeing, we should not break the rules. So even if it doesn't affect others, happiness or distress, or even if it is much convenience, but still, there is a conception that there is someone higher who is watching me, then there is a more tendency that you may be moral, not only when it is convenient, but even when it is not being observed and inconvenient also. Therefore, that is slightly better. So they should imagine God, you see. It's good for you. Also, when you believe in some higher power, whoever that be, at least there is peace. Some higher power is there who is protecting me. And therefore, they can even die peacefully. They are relatively more peaceful in life. They know some higher power is there. And they are more, happy. Also, there is a greater tendency to act piously than mere morality. Oh, I am trying to please someone. Therefore, there is a greater tendency to act piously. And even if God doesn't exist, suppose at the end you realize that he actually never existed, still it brings so much. It's only giving benefit to society. Why not accept? Theek hai, you accept your God, I accept my God, but let's all accept some gods. Our own gods, no problem. Because it's higher than mere morality. So that's another conception. And then comes morality with a distorted belief in an impersonal God. That you go higher and higher and higher, and then you realize that what beyond that? Then you start speculating and push your intelligence beyond the realm of this material duality. And therefore, you have to lead, it has to be, unless there is acceptance of proper parampara, when you push your intelligence beyond the dualities of nature, even though you may be using scriptures, but without proper descending process of that parampara, you are bound to lead to conclude as God having no form, because it just cannot happen that a God can be everywhere and simultaneously situated in one place. It's not possible. Rational intelligence, it doesn't permit us to think like that. Therefore, Upanishads, the purpose of Upanishad is to break that rationality. Rational mind. Tad ejati, tad naijati, tad dure e tadvantike, tad antarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasya se bahyataha. He runs, but he doesn't move from his place. He's farther than the farthest, nearer than the nearest. He's outside of everything, he's inside of everything. Let me forget about trying to understand rationally. Your rational head cannot, your this 450 grams of gray matter cannot actually penetrate. You know, that's why in Bhakti Aloka Bhakti Viru Thakur says, certain people ask this question, how did we fall first of all? How did we develop envy in the first place? If there is envy there, what are the chances of going back? Still there won't be envy, and when we come back. All these questions, if you believe in scriptures and all this, better accept first step A of the scriptures. Adav Shraddha. It's like going to a doctor and say, first cure my disease, then I'll develop faith, then I'll take your medicine. It doesn't make sense. Okay, you can check whether he's a bona fide doctor. How many patients go in? How much come out? Confirm all of this. But then, somewhere you have to make that leap of faith. And faith in what? Faith in the inconceivable power of the Lord. Inconceivable power of the Lord. 1 + 1 = 1. 1 - 1 = 1. 1 squared = 1, 1 cubed = 1, whatever. This just doesn't make sense. When we realize that we cannot understand God, we have just begun to understand God. That was Brahmaji's realization. He said, my Lord, he saw Krishna. Krishna increase into billions of Vishnu forms, still is the same Krishna. And that is 1 + 1. And all Vishnus merging, still Krishna. 1 - 1 = 1. Absolutely non-different. That time, Brahmaji said, my Lord, with these four heads, super intelligent, his body is made of intelligence. He is the first person to understand the Vedas. First recipient of knowledge, Vedic knowledge. But he says, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. That is his statement. Vedeshu durlabham, impossible by understanding through simply Vedas. Adurlabham atma bhaktau. Only by an unalloyed pure devotee can you be understood. That's your inconceivable power, that you can be easily understood by an insignificant, tiny jiva. If you want. Only if you want. Then starts sadhana bhakti. That shraddha begins the first step of bhakti. And that's what Mahaprabhu, and from shraddha to prema. All that step is being offered simply by Harinam. Shreyah Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The blossoming of the lotus flower of knowledge. Vidyavadhu Jivanam. Blossoming of consciousness. That is evolution. From absolute lowest amoral, atheistic, to the highest level of Krishna Prema. That is what Mahaprakash Leela is all about. What is Mahaprakash? Maha means big, right? Mahaprasad, Maha Kola. Maha means great. And Prakash means revelation. The Lord revealed the greatest revelation of Mahaprabhu. What did he reveal? He revealed who he actually was. Don't think I'm just moving around like a devotee. Vishnu, Vishnu, don't call me Vishnu. But he revealed his actual glory, full manifestation. He revealed the true glory of all of his devotees and why they are glorious. And he revealed how the Lord, even though the supreme controller of all controllers, controls Brahma, controls Lord Shiva, controls the whole laws of stringent laws of nature, but he is totally controlled. He has absolutely no independence when it comes to his devotees. And the devotee is so dear to the Lord, so dear. In fact, the devotee's body is more dear to the Lord than his own body. During Mahaprakash, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving mercy to everyone, he called Haridas Thakur. And he said, भक्तो बड़ाई तेसे ठाकुर भाल जाने कीना बोले कीना करे भक्तेरो कारणे. The Lord is expert in glorifying his devotees. What is there that he does not say or do for the sake of his devotees? There is no activity that the Supreme Lord does not do, nor any words he does not speak in order to spread the glories of his devotees. Since the Supreme Lord is omniscient, only he is capable of performing extraordinary activities. The other day we were discussing Madhavendra Puri. The Lord is ready to be called as a thief for the rest of eternity. Khir Chor Gopinath. Can you imagine calling someone? Yeah, this one. Chor hai. सब अच्छा है. एक बार उसने चोरी किया था. Of course, the Lord reveals that even his stealing is actually transcendental. He's running away from the battle. He's absolute. He's like the sun. The sun may fall on stool and urine and some sewage water. The only benefit is anything that comes in contact gets purified, but it doesn't contaminate the sun. So Krishna's stealing, Krishna's dancing with others, ladies in the middle of the night, is simply to glorify that devotee. How the devotee is, how the Lord is sold out to his devotee. The devotee desires, I wish I could taste that sweet rice so that, you know, I could offer it to Gopal there. Oh, what thought? The offering is still going on. He just, without telling anyone, he ran away. But the Lord, understanding his heart, sold out. He says, he had a desire, I'm going to fulfill. He stole it. Told the pujari, pick it up, I have stolen it, give it to him. That's the only seva of Krishna, to glorify his devotees. Why? Because the devotee's only seva is to glorify the Lord. It's in simple reciprocation. Then he says, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Jolanta anala prabhu bhakta lagi khai, bhaktera kinkara hoye apana ichhai. For the sake of his devotees, the Lord eats blazing fire, and out of his sweet will, he becomes their servant. You know how, when the gopas were getting troubled by the blazing fire, forest fire, Krishna asked them to close his mouth and consume the fire. Who will eat fire? Jolanta anala prabhu bhakta lagi khai. And then he told Haridas, Bhakta vai Krishna ara kichhu hi na jane, Bhaktira samananahi ananta bhuvane. Lord Krishna does not know anything other than his devotees. In all the universe, there is nothing he considers equal to his devotees. In one particular lecture, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a purport to this when he was speaking about Mahaprakash Leela. And he made a very interesting point. He said, the Lord is the controller of universes. If you take all the opulence, all the wealth of all the universes, keep it on one side of the scale and put one devotee on the other scale, this scale becomes heavier. That means it's valueless without this devotee. And Mahaprabhu actually expressed this to Haridas Thakur. How can I live without you? Why? Because the devotee's feeling is, my Lord, shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahinam. Similarly for the Lord, shunyaitam jagat sarvam my devotee virahinam. It's a fact. Without the devotee, there's no charm. And Prabhupada explains very beautifully this in, let us hear the Lord's own words. And the Lord's a great devotee is like Srila Prabhupada. His purport, because only a devotee can understand the heart of the statement. Why? Because he's situated in the heart of the Lord. So whatever statement the Lord makes, because the devotee is situated in the heart of the Lord, he knows the heart of all the statement, the essence and the spirit of that statement. Sadhavo hridayam ahyam, sadhunam hridayam toham. And therefore, even though a devotee may speak something, the Lord knows the heart of that statement. What he means by that statement. He may act anyway. He may externally act like a madman. But the Lord knows why he's doing all that. Because he's situated in the heart. And the devotee knows what is the heart of any statement. Therefore, he can give the essence of all any statement of the scripture. Because he knows who made the law and why he made the law. So, here is the Lord speaking. And Srila Prabhupada's purport to that. This is in the 9th canto, 4th chapter, text 63, where Durvas Muni has tried to attack Maharaj Ambarish. Ambarish Maharaj just stood there. Hare Krishna, Rake Kya, Rake Krishna. It's all right, my Lord. If you want to kill, where do I run? What is the use of running anywhere if you want to kill me? And if you want to protect me, why should I try to protect? What can I do myself? What can I protect myself? If you send a brahmastra, I can't hold an umbrella. Just it's useless. So, and then Sudarshan comes of the Lord. Same like Haridas Thakur. But there is a slightly different turn here. Extra little turn in Mahaprabhu's pastime. Same Sudarshan, but little extra pastime. Because this is Karunavatar. So, the Sudarshan has come. And it starts going behind Durvas Muni. And Durvasa is running everywhere, all over the universe. Goes to Brahma, goes to Lord Shiva. He says, this is not my chakra. I don't recognize this chakra. Go to whosoever chakra it is. Goes there because he's the supreme controller. The Lord is the supreme controller. And he wants to punish someone. Who is there who can stop that punishment? Let's see. Everyone says, Uparwal se poochha, humko nahi maalum. So therefore, Durvas Muni is forced to actually go to Vishnu. Fall to his feet. Your chakra, do something. Please. It's burning me. And this is the Lord speaking to Durvas Muni, eternally engraved in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aham Bhakta Paradhino Hi Asvatantra Ivadvija Sadhuvir Grasta Hridayo Bhaktair Bhakta Janapriya. Every 1/4 of the statement is worth considering. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradhino. Paradhin. Adhin means, you know, Paradhin means totally dependent. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradhino. And to emphasize this point, he says, He Aswatantra Ivadvija. As if I have no independence. Just like if someone is a slave, right? You tell, hey, uthna padega. Baith, bhag, kha, soja. He has to do, he's a slave. As if he has no independence. His slave has independence. But because he has become a slave, he has no independence. Whatever he says. Therefore, Mahaprabhu used to tell these devotees, I am sold out, you can sell me where you want. It's like slaves were being sold earlier. Stamp marge, ye tumhara aadmi aaj se. And they used to brand them. It's like, you know, in the ears you put of cow something. This is my cow. All this. So branded. Mahaprabhu would tell his devotees, I am sold out. I am completely sold to your love. You can sell me where you want. So this is exactly what the Lord is saying. Aham bhakta paradhino hi asvatantra ivadvija sadhubhir grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the course of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Mahaprabhu gave entrance, what was not available to Brahmanas, to this Muslim tailor. And he got love of God. Dukhi became Sukhi. Mahaprabhu told, even the cats and dogs, the tailor, the carpenter, anyone who is connected to you, Shivas, will get pure love of God. Because you are so dear. Anyone who you love, I love. Why? Because your heart goes to someone, I am sitting in your heart. I have also forced to go there. Anyone who becomes dear to you has to become dear to me. What can I do? I am your slave. If you wish welfare for someone, I have to, whether he is deserving or not deserving, I have to give my mercy to him because you have ordered me. That's what it means, that I have no independence. I am fully sold out to this person. His desire, Madhavendra Puri just desired, I wish I could get without asking. Because he had ayachaka vritti. He would never, even for his own food, he would not beg. Krishna had to bring him a pot of milk. That was his determination. No question of begging. Fully dependent on the Lord. And he desired. A person who had no desire for himself, desired little sweet rice, simply so that I can serve Gopal in Vrindavan. The Lord is sold out. He said, I have to steal. The only way I can, he won't ask, others don't understand. And he has this desire to serve me. He does everything for me. How can I not reciprocate? So, he stole it. And then, therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes 3-4 quotations. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Pai Chekeva. By our own endeavor, there is no question of going back home, back to Godhead, except Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva. Only when a Vaishnava wishes well, is there some hope for us. Yasya Prasadat, Bhagavat Prasadat. Yasya Aprasadat, Nagatikut. There is no hope without that. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, I am not a servant of Krishna. I am the servant of the servant of the servant. Das, 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 anudas. Because he knows how much dear are the das of Krishna. If I can become their das, there is some hope. Otherwise, on my own, there is no question of pleasing Krishna. I am so much interested in pleasing my own interests. Where can I? When will I ever get the real desire to please Krishna? Therefore, best thing is, and I don't even know what Krishna wants, even if I want to serve. Better I serve someone who really knows how to serve Krishna. And therefore, if I can somehow connect
What was Dukhi doing? Dukhi didn't know what was Mahaprabhu's desire and all that. He knew my Lord Shivas, he's bathing and pot is getting empty. I have to fill it up and keep, that's all. She wasn't even watching that. She couldn't probably understand also what's going on outside, inside. Only the pot would come out empty. Bhar ke yahan rakho, bas. Mahaprabhu noticed that. She became one of the, she got the eternal happiness of devotional service. And then the Lord says further, O best of the Brahmanas, indirectly is telling him, you're not the best of the Brahmanas. Because if you are a Brahmana, you won't hurt a Vaishnava. O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. If whole Golok Vrindavan is there, and if devotees are not there, Krishna will leave that place and come here. Because that opulence is not tasty for him without his devotees who are ready to die for him, whose only goal is to please him. This is one Madhuri, Prema Madhuri. Krishna is always, always surrounded by his loving devotees who are ready to die for him. Because they are all ready to die for Krishna, Krishna is ready to do anything for them. Because Krishna can't die. So he'll do anything for them. Don't die, Baba. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. See, he's Atmaram. He doesn't require. But still, Anandamayo Bhyasat. He likes the cooperation. But to enjoy his transcendental bliss, he requires the cooperation of his devotees. So those who cooperate, that is our natural constitutional position, to cooperate with the will of the Lord, being a part and parcel, eternally. And then Prabhupada makes a very important statement, very beautiful, logically he connects how we can get that opportunity. All of us, we can get that opportunity and actually control the Lord. He says, not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. One of the nature of the Lord is, everything about him is ever increasing. So, he is not satisfied with all the devotees in Golok Vrindavan. He wants to increase. Thus, he descends to the material world to induce the non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. Just like Jesus told, I think, Peter about the prodigal son. He said, I am happy, but somebody who is lost has come back. Rejoice. Let's have a celebration. Every time a devotee comes back, living entity, Krishna embraces and falls down, unconscious. He requests them, just like Nityananda Prabhu was doing. He requests them, that means the rebellious souls, to surrender unto him because unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. And now the important point. The Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. We may not understand. By assisting someone who is wanting to increase the pleasure of the Lord by increasing the number of pure devotees, we don't know how. We may be like Dukhi. We don't even know what we are doing. I remember Bhakti Vinod Prabhu. He had come. He told a very nice story once. He said, once there was a school day celebration and it was in a stadium. Thousands of people had gathered and it was school annual day. And there were kids, nursery kids. They don't know anything. So 7 kids were chosen and on their neck, around their neck, was put a very nice letter. W-E-L-C-O-M-E. And first the W girl walked, then E, and then L, then C, then O, and M, E. They don't know what that letter means because they are still in nursery and they have not yet learnt. They don't know what letter it means. But they are told, you first walk, then E, then L, and then C, and O, and M, E. So they come onto the stage and they are asked to just stand there and just... Background music is going on. Just simply do this. And the whole stadium sees, wow, we are welcome. They have no idea why people are clapping. But they know one thing. This teacher has asked us to just go there. Don't change. E should not come at L and L should not. Just stand where you are and keep moving. Bas. And the welcome message will be sent to the whole, whole stadium. So similarly, we may have absolutely no idea how this is going to control the Lord. We are trying to, control how to wash the pot and, keep it clean. But how this just washing of this pot or doing this can control the Lord? We may have absolutely no idea. But because we are acting under, in parampara, under a devotee whose only desire is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase his devotees, whatever insignificant, even like cats or dogs or a washerman or whatever, that some connection and the devotee is very happy and satisfied. Oh, I need it. Just like a surgeon is doing some surgery and sometimes, he wants to just, sweating in the nose and he, because he's supposed to be, completely sterile. So you lend him a shoulder and he just maybe rubs you. I once went to a surgery. This man was sweating like anything and you just turn and there was this man with a full, and he would just go like this, and then very grateful you provided, right? Otherwise, this could have gone infection. But tip of my nose, sweat falling into very pure area. So, whatever way, insignificant way, we can serve, the Lord is pleased. That's what Prabhupada is making a point here. And he gives a brilliant another example. He says, an example that may be cited in this regard is that if a very rich man does not have a son in a family, he does not feel happiness. Putrahinam graham shunyam, as Chanakya said, morality only. Indeed, sometimes the rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. And then the Lord says, why? Why are they so dear to me? Why am I totally sold out to them? He says, since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, not this life or in the next, not pavarga, not apavarga, not swarga. How can I give up such devotees at any time? This is the Lord telling. How can I give up? Srivas Thakur, his son died during the kirtan. Not that Srivas did not love his son. It was Krishna's son. He loved. But that love was in relationship with giving pleasure to Mahaprabhu. Anything, if it is not, then it's an obstacle. Everyone is crying. He says, if you cry, I will also go and drown myself. I don't want Mahaprabhu's kirtan to be disturbed. Mahaprabhu cried. He said, how can I give up the association of these devotees? That is why it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam and describing Mahapurusha. It says, Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita rajya lakshmim. Tyaktva, he gave up sudustyaja. Very difficult to give up. Very difficult to give up such a loving mother. whose life and soul was pleasing Nimai. Once Nimai broke down the whole house, she never became angry. She said, "What is it, my child? What do you want? You have nothing. I can't even cook and give it to you because you have broken everything." She never became angry. Angry is when you are trying to control out of your lusty desire. Her only desire was, "I want to please Nimai. Who can have a mother like this? A wife, goddess of fortune. Who can give up such a wife? And what kind of intellectual capacity that he had, a profession that he had, teaching grammar. Hundreds, thousands of people would come. They would leave all school to come join this school, Mahaprabhu school. That was his ability. And then, what about influence? Prabhupada explains in one particular lecture, just in the morning, Mahaprabhu announced, he said, "This evening, everyone come here with a torch and I'm going to have Sankirtan." Just in the evening, literally, millions and millions and millions of uncountable number of people came. Just Nimai's one call in the morning. By afternoon, they were ready. Today, we find some politicians just to show the number, how much trouble they have to take. Days ago, they have to invest money, get truckloads of people, train loads of people to come just to show the number. And they have to supply the food. It's not that Mahaprabhu said, "I will supply you kerosene and cloth and sticks." They were so enthusiastic. He has asked us to come. They brought the sticks, they brought the cloth. Not one, he had told just one, but they brought innumerable numbers. That was his influence. That was his popularity. Nadhanam, najanam, nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye. But tyaktva sudusti in one moment, because dharmishtha yadagad aranyam, maya mrigam daita epsitam anvadhavat. Because of his deep compassion, that I should share this with others, he was ready to sacrifice so much. He took sannyas, yadagad aranyam. Which aranyam? Into this jungle, concrete jungle. Of course, at that time it was not much, but running into South India in the excuse of meeting people, embracing and infusing them with love of God. Only for that sake. Therefore, any devotees who saw Mahaprabhu, they couldn't tolerate. Forget about giving up all this. People are not able to give up their mustache. Hair between your nose and the upper lip. Some bit growth. Few centimeters. People are so attached in front of the mirror. They stand hours together and dressing and trimming it. That is the attachment to the hair. What to speak of having cascading hair like Mahaprabhu. Height of beauty. Therefore, even the barber, he said, "It's too good. I can't cut it." "It's too good. You're looking so good." Or to speak of giving up other things. Tyaktva sudustej surep sita rajya lakshmi. Since pure devotees give up their homes, their wives, their children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? Prabhupada explains, great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Durvas Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depending solely and wholly on him. Even his life, he didn't run for his life because his life was sold out to Krishna. "Krishna, whatever you want, I'm yours. Whereas when Durvas Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord, he was so perturbed that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. At last, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore,
He did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then he says, and then how these such devotees, because they are like this, how they control? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service. The pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. Sat striyaha sat patim yatha. Mai nirbhadda hridaya sadhava samadarshana vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya. They control me as sat striyaha sat patim. Sat striyaha, a striya who is fully subordinate, trying, the whole purpose is to please that person. And if that person is grateful and dutiful, he cannot but be totally, not exactly henpecked, but fully, can't do anything. How could he? So in this way, and then he says, sadhavo hrudayo mahyam sadhunam hrudaya mad anyatena janati naham tebhyo managapi. And this exactly is what this golden avatar has come to give. The golden avatar is giving a golden opportunity on a golden platter. It's up to us. We want to take this opportunity in this very lifetime, rather than crossing all the 84 lakh species and in the human from amoral atheists and in bahunam, 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 janma, manushanam, sahasreshu, and even after getting that, yadadam api siddhanam, kaschit. How rare that is being given to us. Here, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Because it is so, as Shaman Prabhu was telling yesterday in the Brahmachari class about diamond, very rare diamond. So father gave this rare diamond to the son. Son doesn't know its value. Said, go and sell it on the market, you will know. So he went to a washerman. He said, I'll give you few clothes for it because I also need a stone for rubbing. And then he went to another sabji wali. So he said, yeah, I'll give you a half kilo something, the same weight of something, sabji I'll give, because I need another weight also. So in this way, he went to different people. And then he went to a jeweler, TBZ. He gave it to him. He says, daraja band kar sab. Kahan se aaye? How valuable is this? Where did you get this? Why? Both valuable. And the whole shop can go. There's one jewel that you have given me. Then he realized, oh, it takes one to know some, know one. Similarly, to understand this jewel of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which sounds like another ordinary sound vibration, so many people are chanting this mantra and Hare Krishnas are chanting this mantra. But actually, it takes someone like Srila Prabhupada to come and explain. So, this Mahamantra is transcendental sound vibration. It is not mental imposition. It takes one. And when coming from such a personality, and he shows the effect. Just see this. Just see the effect. It is actually Srila Prabhupada's glory that we are all Krishna conscious. Actually, it's Prabhupada's glory. Just like when Haridas Thakur transformed that prostitute, she became such a great Vaishnavi. Vaishnavas from all directions would come to just see her. Why Vaishnavas came to see her, a prostitute? Because she had become such a great Vaishnava. And they came to see her. But when they were seeing her, they were not actually seeing her. They were seeing the mercy of Haridas Thakur. Wow.
Haridas Thakur is so great. This lady has become a Vaishnavi. She who was the cause of downfall of so many living entities. Today, just by looking at this personality, Gangara Parasha Hoile Paschade Pavan, Darshane Pavitra Koroi Tumargun. That is the power of Haridas Thakur. So by looking at her, what they were actually glorifying is the mercy of Haridas Thakur. So by looking at all so-called Indians, Brahmanas, and Westerners or this, whatever, it's still chanting Hare Krishna, following the four regulative principles. Following the four regulative principles actually is not so easy. Try without chanting to maintain this. Please don't try. But try to understand. Just try to understand. So difficult. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Knowing the heart. That heart was revealed, just a bit of it was revealed when he made this prayer in Jaladuta. These people are suffering so much, my Lord. How will they be delivered? But I have faith in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalo bhadaishchaye cheta etair anavidham. I have faith that if, just like Advaita Acharya said, my name Advaita Simha is useless if I don't bring you down and deliver all these people. Similarly, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada also said, Bhakti nahi veda nahi namet khubadaro. Bhakti Vedanta nam ebe sartakar. Somehow you are given the name Bhakti Vedanta. But this Bhakti Vedanta is useless if I don't induce the essence of Vedanta Bhakti into the hearts of the Nirvishesha and Shunyavada. Break the teeth, Vedanta. Break the teeth and give them the essence of Vedanta. And make them literally Vedanta. All these teeth of philosophies, other philosophies which are crushing people and wasting their human life. Completely toothless. They become just like a snake which has no poison fangs. Kids can play with it. So all these powerful, influential philosophies which can take you away. But one who has taken shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Kaivalyam Narakayate, Tridashapur Akashapushpayate, Durdantendriya Kala Sarpapatali Parodkhata Damshtrayate. Same. Damshtrayate. Tooth broken. And send me anywhere. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Of course, very easy to speak. Krishna, don't send me... some other place. Very difficult. Therefore, we are still here. We know the philosophy. Long way to go. Of course, long way to go. We can't go. Someone has to elevate us. That's the mercy. Vidhimahendra adishcha kitayate. Yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam dam gaurame vastuma. Then we can actually appreciate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, any questions? 2 minutes is left. I don't know for what. Only question is how to apply this now. Mercy is known. Opportunity is known. We can pray that Mahaprabhu's mercy and somehow become dear. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasad. And do just our part, our bit. And then sure enough, all these great cycles of evolution, we can take an elevator simply. Super fast, express highway like. Back home, back to Godhead. Yes, Prabhuji. Pass the mic.
Prabhuji, we hear wonderful lectures, but so nice to hear, but when it comes to application of our life, actually there is no application how we can reach to the stage by which we can apply what we are hearing.
Keep hearing.
It's a fact. If you hear at least for a few hours, it lasts. So every hour, if you see, my capacity for holding this is one day, then hear every day. If it is for 6 hours, hear every 6 hours. If it is for 1 minute, hear every minute. We have to decide how long does such a thing last in our heart. That's why Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's a fact, but that is the nature of Kali Yuga. That's the nature of conditioning. That's the nature of bombardment. Everything is washed out within no time. Within no time. So just keep hearing, that's all. That itself is perfection of life. Just keep hearing. Shravanam, Parikshit Maharaj perfected simply by hearing. Even though we may not be able to. And actually hearing means sincerely trying to the best of our ability to put it to practice. It's a fact. Now, see, just before coming, I knew, I had very nice masala for this class today. So, after many years, you may go into this mode. I know what will attract the audience, what will please the... Sometimes I may like it, sometimes I may not like it, but I speak it nevertheless. That's all. Sometimes, you know, you may not have enough nice some topics, you may feel, what will I speak? You're not speaking for entertainment. You're speaking for Krishna's pleasure on the order of someone. You do it nevertheless. Sometimes you feel happy, sometimes you don't like, sometimes you're glorified, sometimes... Acha tha, theek hai. So, we just keep speaking. If that's why, that means that stronger dose is required. If there is not changing, Prabhupada said, if there is no determination, then you are an animal, because animals have no good intelligence. Intelligence means two things: discrimination and determination. Sign of intelligence is discrimination and determination. Discriminating, what's right, what's wrong, what's best, what is not the best, what are the different options. Only through intelligence we are able to understand what is the best option that's available. And after next is determination. Manasastu para buddhir. Yoga means controlling the mind. As the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, beat your mind with shoes in the morning, with broomstick in the night. Beating means hitting. How? Discrimination comes through regular study of scriptures. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. The thing is, somewhere there is a doubt. Faith is like accelerator and brake is like doubt. You can't press on the accelerator and also the brake at the same time. Agnyascha ashradadanascha samshayatma vineshati. Somewhere we are hearing, but we have no faith. We actually have no faith. Because if we had faith, then we would go ahead with full speed. That is due to anartha. And how does anartha go? Utsahat nishayat dhairya. Same story of Mukunda. Can we actually, again, this is another glory of Mahaprakash. Everyone is getting mercy. Mukunda is not getting mercy. And will I ever get mercy? He didn't even ask straight. Srivast Thakur asked on his behalf. Look at his humility. And without Mahaprabhu calling, he won't even come. Then Mahaprabhu, Shivas asked, don't take the name of that rascal. I've never seen him. He said, what offense did he do? Since the time we know, he has never offended. And even if he has offended, you are forgiving everyone. Just forgive him also. He said, no. He's a rascal. Mahaprabhu indirectly showed. He actually meant it. Don't think Mahaprabhu did not mean it. He actually meant it. That this fellow bows down with a straw and then hits me with an iron club.
So when he goes with the devotees, he has a straw and yes, bhakti is everything. And then he goes with Mayavadi. Because earlier, Mahaprabhu was revealing the past life of everyone. So earlier he had a guru, you know, who was like a Mayavadi and the other inclination. And Mukunda understood. So he said, all right, I understand. Actually, I deserve worst. Will I ever get an opportunity to see you again, my Lord? Is there any hope for me? Hope? Not for 10 million births. After 10 million births, you will see me. And Mukunda was dancing. I will see. Mahaprabhu called him and said, this enthusiasm and readiness to wait. We become so restless. That's the nature of restless mind. Today I have chanted, tomorrow I should develop all the Ashtasatvika Vikar. That's Sahajiya. So he said, this is nothing. 10 million births is nothing for what I'm getting. This faith and this enthusiasm and this patience has burnt away all the apras that you made. And now you're ready. I'm ready to see you right now. Come here. So only enthusiasm, the fire of enthusiasm, can burn the anartha, just like a blazing fire. Hey, you know, you have this building. Anything that comes, you know. Not smoky fire, you know. Actually, blazing fire. Only that can burn. It's like a river. When it is flowing, anything that comes. Ratim udvahatam. Gangai vaughamudanmati. What a brilliant example Kunti Devi says. Let my consciousness flow towards you, my Lord, like Mother Ganga. It flows with such force, even a mountain comes, it goes above or under or side or somewhere. Can't stop the Ganga because the energy is unlimited. If you throw one bucket of water, it'll stop after a few feet because limited supply. But if that supply is coming from the soul, comes out of hearing, then that energy will be so much that any obstacle, you will go sideways anywhere, but somehow reach. Till you reach the lotus feet of the Lord. And what is the problem? She says, cut off this attachment. What is that? Athavishvesha vishvatman vishvamurti sneha pasham imam chindi dridham pandu. So that's like a chain. You have a chain somehow stuck and you are trying to run and you can't go forward. So somehow you have to. So these obstacles, these anarthas are holding us back. So that enthusiasm should break the chain sometimes. You know, sometimes you have a dog which is, somewhere in the morning you see the chain is hanging and fellow is gone. Because of struggling and struggling, sometimes there is a tear in the neck and, you know, some bleeding, but still. Not a very good example to speak on the Bhagavatam, but just comes to me. I was on the farm and there was this cow, a bull, which had come, you know, to mate. And they were trying to tie it and he was trying to beat that fellow and all that till he ran to the mate. Even though it was actually, you know, piercing his nose, they had put this thing and it was kind of bleeding also. Still, he was so intense that he was restless till he actually. If lust can be so powerful, what to speak of if it is transformed into love? So, of course, logically, intellectually, so many arguments I can give. But you please pray that I develop a drop of what I am speaking. So easy to speak logically, all philosophy, you know. It's like all jigsaw puzzle perfectly fitting into, makes sense. Except asking me to practice it. It's tough. But two things, again. I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita the other day. Association and engagement. This is our only shelter. Prabhupada says, two things we need. Spiritual strength and spiritual spiritual shelter and spiritual strength. Shelter is engagement in devotional service. and association of sincere devotees. That's our only shelter. Where do we run for shelter? To come into that shelter and to stay in that shelter, we need strength. And that strength comes from instructions. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. That's why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offers his obeisances. He says, to both Mantra Guru or Shiksha Guru, I offer my obeisances. Because strength means Balaram. Balaram is the source of all strength. That is Guru Tattva. So Guru's strength comes from his instructions. If you follow those instructions, Prabhupada said, if you follow my instructions, I will kick Maya with my boots. Don't worry. So strength to remain in the association and strength to perform devotional service. Then we are safe. Let Krishna do the part. We just have to do our part. You do your best and leave the rest to Krishna. That is his headache. Jananivas Prabhu has asked, Prabhuji, what about this anartha, that anartha? Why? What anartha? You know, typical his style. So what anartha? That's Krishna's problem. You just do what he wants. That is Krishna's problem. He'll remove all anarthas. No, he was asking, when will bhava bhakti come? Bhava comes from his grace. Sadhana is our endeavor. Till anartha nivritti is our job. Everything else. Just like you may be equally qualified. Yesterday we were discussing about adhikar. Right? So 10 people may be equally qualified. They go and apply for an interview. But even though they are qualified, they can't demand a job. One of them will be chosen. That's up to that fellow who he may pick. So our job is to struggle. Krishna's job is to deliver. When? In what way? That's it. Why are we concerned? Let's enjoy the struggle. We will learn to enjoy the struggle. Bas. Rather than painfully suffering, let's enjoy. What a struggle. Because we are struggling for Krishna. We are fighting for Krishna. So it's like the Tom Sawyer, you know. Enjoy that struggle. You are happy. You feel bad, of course. At heart, you should feel, my God, how much lusty, how greedy, how envious, how... But what can I do? I am what I am. Let's go ahead. I think it's late. One question, one last question.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, always I had a question about Lord Krishna. He arranges a situation for the Vrajvasis to become helpless, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being merciful. I feel very comfortable in the sense I feel familiar, familiarity develops. And so I was having a question that is my 16th round, which is inattentive, will... attract the mercy of the Lord in such a small way. Because for chanting of the holy name, helplessness also is required. And just by hearing Lord is merciful, merciful, it becomes very comfortable. But Krishna creates situation for Vrajavasis to become helpless. And they used to cry out for Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful because familiarity breeds contempt. So services become very inattentive. Like nothing will happen. Lord is very merciful. Like that.
That is not proper hearing. It is only 50% of hearing. There is anartha nivritti and then there is artha pravritti. Both. You have to hear how difficult it is. Why Krishna says, even in Ishopanishad, vidyam cha avidyam cha yastad vedo bhayamsa. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya amritamash. Or Krishna says, mama maya duratyaya. One devotee, I keep repeating this often. I think Shikshastakam Prabhu, many years ago, he was giving a class. He said, what does it mean to be sincere devotee? Serious devotee. So, Prabhuji, what does it mean to be serious? So, he gave the answer. He said, this 7.14. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarande. The first part of the verse speaks about how difficult is maya. Mama maya duratyaya. Krishna is telling. So difficult. And then he said, the only solution is mame vaya prapadyanti. So, If you take only the first part, Mahamaya Duratya, Mahamaya Duratya, Mahamaya Duratya, you will go into depression. Duratya. Impossible. Therefore, better enjoy senses and, you know, make the best of the bad bargain. So simply taking first part of the shloka seriously will make you go into depression. But if you take only the second part very seriously, Mahameve Prabodhade Bhavaye, that you will become a Sahajiya. So, take both seriously. So, who is a serious devotee? Who takes Maya seriously and who takes Krishna's surrender to process seriously. You know, if I don't take shelter of Krishna, already one fellow is pulling me inside. You know, it's just like sometimes the train. Some fellow is trying, aja, aja, upar. They go, hey, utar ja, utar ja. Gir jaya, gir jayega. Hey, aja, aja, aage andar, already aage tu, aja. You have to make quick decision because the train is picking up speed. Time is running away. So, kick one and take shelter of the other. You have to do any one of this. Kick this fellow and come down on the platform, or kick this fellow and get into the train. Jump inside. Train home, back to Godhead. Inside the train are the devotees. Come on, ho jayega, aja, aja. Chalang maro de. Take a risk. Don't get too much involved. Thoda aja. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much.